This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can Germany convince Turkey's president to loosen his grip on human rights and the economy and the apps hooking up women with sperm donors? This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Turkey's president Recep Tayyip Erdogan is in Germany meeting Chancellor Angela Merkel. The two countries have clashed over human rights and Turkey's economy, over which Mr. Erdogan has exercised increasing political control. The BBC's Jenny Hill is covering the visit.
Central Berlin has been completely sealed off. I'm at a roadblock just around the corner from the Brandenburg Gate. There are police officers everywhere, bemused tourists at the cordon looking on at police armoured vehicles and rooftop snipers around the luxury Adlon Hotel, where a very controversial guest is staying. Recep Erdogan has come with high expectations. He wants to reset the relationship between Ankara and Berlin. It's strained, due in part to his penchant for jailing critics and journalists with German passports. So perhaps it's no wonder that few senior politicians will attend a state banquet due to be held in his honour at the presidential palace, not far from here. Angela Merkel and many of her ministers won't be at the dinner. Mrs. Merkel, of course, will meet with him. Three times, in fact. Mr. Erdogan needs her help and support. His economy's struggling and he's fallen out with Donald Trump. But the relationship matters to her too. 3 million people of Turkish origin live in Germany. Many support him. Then there's a trading relationship. And a deal between Turkey and the EU has helped to reduce migration. Mr. Erdogan says he wants closer ties for what he says is the sake of prosperity and the future of both countries. Mrs. Merkel may agree with him, but given her own diminishing power and the contempt in which Mr. Erdogan is held by many here, her welcome will be a cautious one.
Jenny Hill reporting there. Let's do the numbers. Asian markets are up today after a rally on Wall Street where investors were buoyed by the Federal Reserve's positive outlook for the U.S. Oil added to gains with predictions it could be headed back to $100 a barrel. The Nikkei closed up 1.35%. European stocks are trading lower as investors expect a downgrade to Italy's economy after its budget. Now, it's been a turbulent year for Europe's biggest low-cost airline, Ryanair. It cancelled around 250 flights today as staff staged a new strike over pay and conditions in six European countries. Journalist Matt Cooper is the author of a recent book about the boss of Ryanair, Michael O'Leary.
Michael O'Leary, on this side of the Atlantic, is every bit as well known as Elon Musk is with Tesla. Michael O'Leary is so important to Ryanair. 25 years nearly he has been the chief executive of the organisation. He is such a very overbearing almost influence, but also a very successful one, because Michael O'Leary has developed Ryanair into a phenomenon, making profits of nearly 1.5 billion euro per annum. He has probably created the biggest Irish business success story since Guinness was invented over 250 years ago. But now this problem has spread to continental Europe. Cabin crews in Belgium, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain and Portugal today. And yesterday the pilots in Germany also piled in.
Matt Cooper. The global fertility industry is expected to grow by more than 8% over the next 4 years, according to a recent report. With each round of treatment costing a couple of thousand dollars, many women are turning to apps or social media to find a free co-parent. The BBC's Emma Wass has been investigating the UK's casual fertility market.
There are loads of these sites. Most of the ones I've seen are either online forums that you have to sign up to. Some are Facebook groups as well. They're easy to use. They're easy to join as well and free to join. Women or couples who are looking for sperm can basically interact directly with men who are offering theirs for free. Of course, Annie, they don't know these men who they're talking to, and they often use pseudonyms. They usually have anonymous profile pictures. And that's why so many people have expressed concern about the potential risks and dangers that come with using them, and they're unregulated. There's AI, artificial insemination, and NI, natural insemination. So in other words, that's unprotected sex with a stranger. Sarah, who is looking for a donor this way, told our presenter Emma Kenny that some men use the sites for more than just a donation.
There's been a few idiots that you really wouldn't want to interact with them because they do harass you or kind of send you images you really don't need to see.
So sexual images?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't need to see that.
So when you say harass, explain a little bit about harassing.
So they sort of either sexually harass you by going, oh, well, I need you to turn up at this time and we'll do X, Y and Z. I'm like, no, because I haven't actually agreed I'm going with you yet. So I sort of like to talk to the person, interact, get to know them and then say, right, yes, I'm willing to use you as a donor.
Right, so there's Sarah trying to navigate that very tricky decision. Who are the men who are donating sperm?
That's a good question, because so many of them actually keep their identity a secret. But I met one donor who told us that his motives are entirely altruistic. His words are spoken by an actor.
In the beginning, it was a bit selfish. I didn't have kids of my own, kind of like leaving my legacy. But when I started to see children born and got the first few photos, I realised how happy I was making people.
Dan, not his real name, says that he's had 6 successes from his donations and there's another child on the way. But even though Dan seemed to be doing it for the right reasons, Sarah's experience has been very different. When we last met up with her, she told me that the man who she was interacting with online, who she'd chosen to be her donor, turned out to be married. He'd also had a vasectomy, so was in no way viable at all.
What are some of the legalities around these arrangements? Are there any legalities?
The first big one, Anu, is that you can't actually sell sperm online or in any form. That would be illegal to actually sell the sperm. But donors can ask recipients to cover expenses, like travel, maybe their petrol costs, perhaps the cost of a hotel as well.
Emma Voss there. Finally, a gym in London is providing punching bags with the faces of some of the main players involved in Brexit after customers told them it's their main frustration. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.